This time on episode 162 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're going to be talking about our amazing Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. giveaway, our X-Men crate, the Marvel Collector Core crate from Pop Funko. We're going to be talking about a new Marvel property that's out there called Legion. We're going to be talking about the man behind the shield, the episode that aired last night on ABC, the weekly Marvel news, and your feedback.
I'm the Ninja Fat Man from the Doom Ninja Podcast, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Jeffrey Mace. Stand by for S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. Director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. This is recorded live Wednesday, February 15th, 2017. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Daredevil Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage on Netflix, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the Marvel Comic Universe in general.
Because of cool origin stories, bro.
If you'd like to talk to us about cool origin stories, bro, you could visit our website, legendsofshield.com.
We have a voicemail line for voicemails, so you can call in and we can play voicemails at 1-844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871.
We have a Facebook that you can find at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
You can find us on Twitter where we're at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Our video companions can be found on our network's YouTube channel at youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
And Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
So we're going to start off with our giveaway. We're not going to give away anything today, but you have to call in to enter our giveaway, right, Haley?
Right. We want to hear your lovely voices, and we want to hear them say one thing in particular, and that is Jean! In your best Wolverine or Scott impression, and you have to let us know by March 1st how awesome your impression is. And you can earn some bonus points by also sharing your favorite time that Jean Grey was either kidnapped or that she died. And again, by March 1st.
Yeah, and you have plenty to choose from. Get on that, people.
Yep, anything in cartoons, comics, movies, there's a lot of ground to cover.
We will even allow fanfic, but you got to tell us where to find the fanfic. Otherwise, yes. I'm not going to know where to find it.
Also, don't make us read any epics.
The X-Men Marvel Collector Core crate, I'm holding it up for our YouTube viewers. We're not going to unbox it today. We've got a busy show, but we are planning on unboxing it next week. Also, Steven in the chat says, who leaves voicemails?
The cool people do.
All is the cool people. The cool people who want to win the X-Men Collector Core crate. And Marvel put this out, or Pop Funko, or whoever put this out, and they put it out because we got a couple of events going on. First of all, Logan comes out on March 3rd. I'm really excited for that. Just a couple of weeks away. Old Man Logan storyline, basically. And X-23. And more importantly, Haley's really excited to talk about something, aren't you?
Yeah, there's a new X-Men show. Legion is airing on, is it on FX or Fox
FX.
Proper? I don't remember.
FX. It's FX.
It premiered last week. Very first episode is out. The second episode is probably airing as we speak, I think. Or soon to it?
Either. No, it airs, I think, just as we're done recording.
Okay.
But I will be watching The Expanse then. So I will be watching episode 2 of Legion tomorrow.
Tuesdays and Wednesdays are chock full of geek shows now. It's kind of impossible to keep up during the work week. Now, Legion was amazing, and I can't wait to finish the first episode, but a lot of people are talking about it. A ton of people. Matter of fact, Ferris tweeted us, and he said, in response to another friend of his, but he said, "I know I said it a few times before, but I cannot believe we live in a world where this show exists." And this show, in this particular case, is Legion. So we're going to be talking more about Legion in the future, but hey, Lauren, any initial thoughts about it?
Okay, so I was a little worried about this show because the whole premise of the character is that he's a schizophrenic with dissociative disorder who has a whole bunch of powers, like a new power for every personality. And the thing about both schizophrenia and dissociative identity disorder is that it's one of those things that nobody ever portrays properly, and it really contributes to the whole, ooh, scary mental illness thing. And it's just one of those things I'm kind of sick of seeing. But this show, with its use of the cinematography, the sound design, and the vulnerability of the main actor, Dan Stevens, it doesn't look, as of the first episode, like they're really falling into that trap. He isn't coming off so much as scary as he is somebody who is being used, which often mentally ill folk are very easily taken advantage of, because it's so easy for somebody to tell you, oh, what you're thinking isn't valid, what's happening to you isn't valid, you're a burden, things like that. And I really want to see, and I haven't seen one of these yet, a review of these from like an actual schizophrenic person, especially regarding the use of the sound design in the audible hallucinations. I have audio hallucinations when I'm falling asleep. It's not the same thing, but there is that kind of quality to them. And I'm just really curious to see where this goes. I loved the sheer vivacity that we got in terms of how everything looked, like the colors that were used, the costuming, the shot composition. I saw somebody say that the guy who is directing this, the guy who did Fargo, I can't remember his name right now. In Fargo, he was very deliberately doing a callback to the Coen brothers' style of filming. And here, he's very deliberately doing a callback to Wes Anderson. And I could very much see that with the whole, the shot composition. Everything's very deliberately posed and very symmetrical. And the colors are all very deliberately chosen. And it's beautiful. If you want to see something that's along the lines of not quite a visual comic book or a visual painting on screen, but that same sort of feel to it, like, seriously, check it out.
Yeah, I watched the pilot. I just watched it last night. I just got around to watching it. And I was very, very confused pretty much the whole time, and I still am. We're coming into this situation where we do have an unreliable narrator. We know already because, you know, he's got certain memories already that we know. He goes back, he's like, oh, wait, that's not what happened. This is what happened. And I'm also confused even as to when this is taking place, because almost the entire thing, the style and the costuming and everything, very 70s. But then you've got that interrogation scene where the guy has a tablet. And I'm confused and curious, and I need to see more.
That reminds me, that type of unreliable narration kind of reminds me a little bit about Mr. Robot and how that whole first season took off. I haven't seen any more than the first season, but
I still need to watch that show. It's on my instant watch and or my Amazon, whatever. But
a lot of people like it. I am not going to go any further. First season was it for me. There was a couple of things I was like, this is not a show for SP, but it was a good show. I'm not going to say that it wasn't well produced. There wasn't a good storyline. It just wasn't for me, at least the couple of twists and turns that they took. So I'm really excited to get into Legion. It's on my DVR. I just have not had a chance to watch it. I'm looking forward to getting into that this weekend. So, listener, if you have something to say about Legion, please get a hold of us. Go ahead and tweet us, or more importantly, send us a voicemail at 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871, and we will play your voicemail about Legion on our next show. Haley, you got anything more to say about Legion right now?
Not right now. Maybe next week I will.
All right. Stay tuned till next week. In the meantime, we're going to get on to some Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We had a great episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. last night. It was awesome. It was titled The Man Behind the Shield. I was kind of like iffy going into it, but after watching it, I'm like, oh my God, this is so cool. It was directed by a really notable name in superhero comic book shows, Wendy Stansler. We talked a lot about her on Starling Tribune, which is the podcast about Arrow on the GunnaGeek.com network. She's got 29 credits going back to 2009 in some very notable shows, starting off with Sex and the City, Grey's Anatomy, 5 episodes of Desperate Housewives, 2 episodes of Monk, an episode of Private Practice, 2 episodes of Men in Trees, 5, Lauren, 5. This is your favorite show, right? 90210?
No, I was making that face at Parks and Recreation.
Mm-hmm.
She directed 4 of my favorite episodes of Parks and Recreation. She did Flu Season and Recall Vote.
Oh, Flu Season is such a good episode.
Wasn't it? It's like my favorite episode.
It's my favorite episode, I think, of anything.
If I was so sick, could I be doing this? What are you doing? Cartwheels, am I not doing
them? Up and down?
She also directed an episode of Dollhouse, No Ordinary Family, 4 of The Vampire Diaries, 5 of Pretty Little Liars, and I know that's a big one for Lauren.
I've never seen it in my life.
No, I was teasing you there. It's a big one for my daughter. 3 episodes of Glee, which I know y'all liked.
I've never seen an episode of it in my
Haley
life.
I know Haley liked it.
I liked the first half season a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. And then when it ended with the, what was that, the regional competition at the midseason break? I think that's what it was. When they sang Don't Stop Believing the first time?
Yep.
Yep. And 1 episode of The Tomorrow People, 3 episodes of My Lady Emily's show Revenge, an episode of Gotham, an episode of Haley's favorite comic book show, I think, The Flash?
No, right now my favorite is Legends of Tomorrow.
Which I need to watch.
It's so good this season.
6 episodes of Arrow. So I have talked about her on the Starling Tribune quite a bit. And then this was her 3rd episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. She has been around. She knows what she's doing. She directs some fantastic episodes. So I knew just by seeing her name that this was going to be an amazing episode. It was written by Matt Owens, who is a complete newbie. Complete. He's got 2 writing credits since 2016. 2016, folks. This is February 2017. 2 writing credits since 2016. 1 episode of Luke Cage, 1 episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and just a ton of staff writer and story editor credits. So the man's been around shows before, but this was the first one that he really got to helm on network television. And of course, there was the episode of Luke Cage over on Netflix. And then Lauren's got to talk about this. We normally just talk about the director and writers of the show, but we have to delve a little bit farther into the production staff on this episode, and we'll tell you why a little bit later. But Lauren, what do you got for us?
The costume designer was Amanda Riley, and she has a very long list in both costume, as both costume designer and in the costume and wardrobe department, all the way back to 2004. In costume and wardrobe department, she worked on Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23 with our very own Jessica Jones. She has worked on a lot of stuff for the History Channel, like True Caribbean Pirates, Deadliest Warrior. So, you know, historical costumes, always fun. And yeah, she is the new costume person for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. starting from this episode, The Man Behind the Suit.
Very important. Lauren, you get into period costumes quite a bit. We've talked about it before on like all the X-Men stuff when we're talking period pieces. I'm sure we'll talk about it over on Legion.
And yeah, I wouldn't call myself the hugest costume nerd, but I love visual accents on shows, and costumes is a huge part of it. And costume designers who actually pay attention and put love into their craft, that's my thing. So every now and then, yeah, I'll notice a costume.
So Amanda is very important, and keep her in mind because we'll talk about her later. But in the meantime, we're going to talk about the episode. We're going to start off with the title, The Man Behind the Shield. Haley, what does that mean?
Well, it could be talking about Mace, but I don't think that's it as much as it is about Coulson.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is the bad guy that Coulson created with his cool origin story, bro.
That was like my favorite exchange in the whole episode.
Yeah, that whole scene was so perfect.
Totally broke the fourth wall.
It was
wall.
So, and I referenced this when I was live tweeting yesterday. And okay, this brings it back to Ming-Na. In the 94 Street Fighter movie, Chun-Li's whole thing, Chun-Li played by our very own Melinda May, Ming-Na Wen, her whole thing is that she's trying to take down M. Bison because he killed her parents, everything. And she gives him this big, long speech about, ah, oh, you killed my parents, blah, blah, blah. He's like, I don't remember you. And then finally at the end, he's like, for you, it was the biggest day of your life. But to me, it was Tuesday. And that's kind of the thing that I got with this whole, you know, the superior, like, you killed my men, blah, blah, blah. And Coulson's like, I don't remember.
I don't even remember what the 084 device thing. And, you know, I got to say, I think that's going to come up later in the season. I mean, we got 8 episodes left. I just see it coming. I don't think they're just going to let it go. I think we're going to find out what that 084 thing was by the end of the season.
I think they might not. I think it might be that unimportant. Like, this was just, you know, another day in the life of Coulson and May. And it happened to be this guy's origin story.
Cool origin story.
It reminded me a little bit of the comic, The Boys. The superheroes are all doing their superhero thing. It's a comic by Garth Ennis, the guy who did Preacher and a bunch of other stuff. But the superheroes are off doing their own thing, and the comic kind of focuses on all the people who are sort of caught in the crossfire. And there's a lot more to it than that, but it's one of those things that you, like, never really think about is just the people who are caught in the crossfire. And yeah, this is their origin story. It's just that we don't care because we care about the heroes.
Also, that guy was just another red shirt.
Exactly.
But he was just another red shirt. I mean, he dug up his dead comrades just so he could pay them proper respect. Okay. Dug
right,
them
but it's
up.
Not like Coulson killed them and left them lying in a field or something. Like, you know, he tricked them into, you know, not catching him or whatever he did. I don't remember. But yeah, they were some bad guys that they outfoxed and they got what they came for and left. And, you know, it's not like they thought about the consequences to those guys after they left.
Yeah, and then this guy, it's not their fault that this guy is very obviously unbalanced. Because
no.
He dug up his dead friends and redressed them. Because I guarantee you those clothes would not be in that condition after that long if the bodies are skeletonized. And just laid them out and... Who does that? Like, who does that?
Cool supervillains do cool stuff like that. It's awesome. I mean,
that's like an Ed Gein thing right there. It's
the cell phone in the head. I mean, you're not going to lose the cell phone that way every day you come in. Oh, where's the skeleton head? I'll just put my phone in the head. That way I always know where it is. Really? Yeah, that was all a little freaky.
So I like, you know, skull and skeleton decor as much as the next girl. But, you know, I will go down to like the Hot Topic, like a normal person, to get a skull to decorate my house with.
You don't know. Those could have come from Hot Topic. He could have just been making it up that he undug them.
Okay, that would be like the greatest twist ever, where he's faking the Russian accent, he's faking the origin story.
He just broke into like a high school science lab and grabbed the skeletons.
Yeah.
And
covered them in dirt.
The uniforms are from a costume department.
Yeah.
Or a costume store. Yeah.
Steven in chat is asking a very important question to you, Lauren. He says, oh, come on, Lauren. You've never dug up a dead friend out of spite?
Well, not a friend.
We've said too much.
I excavated my backyard once and thought I discovered a new species of dinosaur, but it was just a mouse.
Don't tell me about that, because I got to transplant some trees here next weekend. Not looking forward to that. All right, back to the episode. Status of S.H.I.E.L.D. At the beginning, their director is missing, and they are just signaling that they are just ready to be infiltrated. It is. We're not at the end of the season. We got 8 episodes left. They can't just sew up the bad guy in this episode. There's going to be more going on and they know it. So they decide to do something stupid and play around in the virtual reality of Fitz's framework.
Yeah, that's not going to, you know, come back to bite everyone in the butt later on. Not at all.
No, and that's a good theory that has come up, by the way, is did they ever come out of the framework from the beginning?
Yes, I think they did.
Or was that when their brains were sucked up? Because we got to talk about this. Okay, so the four people, not Fitz, Daisy, Coulson, Mac, and Mace. They're all LMDs now, back at S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters.
Spoilers!
When did that happen?
Okay, actually, I think Fitz and Simmons are too. Because everybody lost time on that mission. Everybody.
Interesting. And they're just not activated? Well, why would they not be activated? Because we see all the fighting.
May didn't know she was an LMD.
So they're backup in case their prime plan doesn't work?
Yeah, I think it's like, you know, they will keep behaving as they normally would until it gets to the point where they're supposed to fulfill their mission and then they switch. That's the way May was programmed as well.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, May was programmed to do that because she was infiltrating the higher-ups. If they've replaced all the higher-ups, then they would have no need to act that way.
Do you think they're going to tell Robo May that they are Robo Coulson and Mac and Daisy and Mace?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's why in the very last, the little stinger scene we got, Coulson bot is reactivating May bot.
Right, but he doesn't have to tell her. She could think that that is real Coulson. And all her affections go with him.
He could think he's real Coulson. I guess it comes down to what is the purpose of infiltrating S.H.I.E.L.D.? Like, what is the objective of doing that?
That's a good point, because they already have the Darkhold, so I don't know.
Is it try to take over the world?
See, Narf. You two are all lazy, because Ada and Batty and
the superior.
They're doing it right now. You guys are lazy. You're just doing a podcast.
Yeah.
I was going to take over the world, but so much work.
Well, I've admitted to being lazy, so.
Yep.
All right. So let's go back to the framework at the beginning. When you saw Coulson actually punch Daisy, did you think that that was really happening?
Yeah, I did. I thought they were sparring.
So did I.
I thought so too, but he actually connected, or at least that's
I figured it's like, oh, they got him a new hand and he's trying it out.
Yeah.
On her face?
Yes.
Ouch.
He expected her to be quicker.
That's what I was thinking. And then, no, it turns out they're in the Matrix.
Well, I will say that their stunt doubles, they're quick. Whether it's Daisy, whether it's Coulson or May, any of their stunt doubles are good because we saw a lot of them this episode.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this before. Anytime I don't see their face, I always just assume it's the stunt double.
And there was a lot of no face when they were fighting this episode. But we get to see baby Coulson. And that's what the internet decided to start calling him, is baby Coulson and baby May.
And the thing is, they can't be that much younger. I mean, this has to be just, what, a couple years before Iron Man 1 came out? So
yeah, but that's like 10 years ago now.
Oh, my God.
The MCU's been out for 10 years.
Oh, I hate time.
I know. But that is cool, by the way, when you think about it, because we're just now starting to get into, like, the Infinity War sort of stuff. And they had been setting that up with the gemstones from the beginning. So they've been setting this up for 10 years. What a setup. It's been fun to watch. But it's also been 10 years. I was a lot younger then and not nearly as much gray in this beard. Not at all. Okay, but we had baby Coulson. And I think, Lauren, we need to talk about it now because you noticed something with baby Coulson that got the attention.
So when I was watching, all right, this isn't purely me seeing this. Because I like costume stuff, one of the blogs that I was following for a while, it's Hello Taylor. And I think I've mentioned her on the show before. She writes for the Daily Dot as Gavia Taylor Whitelaw. And she's a lot of fun. And for a while there, she was doing a blog series about costume design and superhero movies. And she was mentioning how when Avengers came out, his suit there was so much different than when it first showed up in Iron Man, where he's just wearing, like, you know, a schlubby off-the-rack suit. And so when I was watching here, I noticed his suit looks a lot different. It's like the less fitted, off-the-rack, not as cool-looking suit that he had in Iron Man 1. So I pointed that out on Twitter, as you do. Just pointing out that, oh, this is like a cool little visual tag. And then a little bit later, I noticed on my feed.
On the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. feed, yeah.
On the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
feed. It got noticed. It got noticed by somebody that some would call the director.
Yes, Clark Gregg tweeted back. Well, he quoted it and then tweeted his own.
And he said, "Good eye. Welcome new costume designer, hashtag Amanda Riley, who went throwback, Phil, hashtag Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So thank you very much, Clark. It was really cool for you to notice that and basically retweet it for everybody. So thank you very much. I know you just wait until Monday morning every week to get the newest episode of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. So this is our shout out to you. Thank you very much for the retweet there. It was fun to see. And of course, in true Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. live tweet fashion, Haley or I could not use our phones for the next hour and a half.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. I'm still kind of glowing about that. Senpai noticed me.
Which Andy needs to know the background on that because he didn't get it.
Okay, it's a joke from anime. Like, Senpai being kind of like a respected figure and like your crush noticed you or something like that. And one of my favorite uses of it is there's this game called Yandere Simulator, where Yandere is a personality type and they're a little unstable and kind of a stalker. And you're trying to get your crush to notice you, but you have to do it just right. Like, Senpai noticed me at the wrong time. And it's when you're covered in like the blood of the girls that you've killed to because they're taking his attention and stuff like that.
That's a good visual to have.
Hate when that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. So awesome. That was great. And if you want to catch Lauren live tweeting on Tuesday nights, go do so. Our hashtag or our Twitter account is at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Senpai is technically an upperclassman because it's like a high school crush thing. Or in martial arts, somebody who holds a higher belt than you.
I think that's really sensei, isn't it?
No, like another student.
Okay. Haley Mace, yes, is getting just racked up and tortured. And I'm wondering when the swap was made. When was he an actual person getting tortured and when was he LMD?
I think the swap happened after he got the crap kicked out of him.
The first time? Because he got the crap kicked out of him twice, didn't he?
Right. I think it happened after Mac and Coulson found him.
Oh. And they were all swapped at the same time?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm assuming like they all got gassed or something to knock him out and then swapped.
We didn't see I looked the second time when I rewatched it. I didn't see any of the canisters of gas, but I didn't like freeze frame and see that.
Right. I don't think they gave us any indication at that time that that had happened. Or, you know, there's also the possibility that they were not replaced with LMDs, that they're actually in the mainframe thing.
Right. So I'm very curious as to how this is a lot of people are speculating. Are they still in the framework? Are they actually LMDs? What exactly is going on? We don't know at this point in time. It's all up in the air. One thing I did notice was that the Superior used his knife on both Mace and on Daisy, basically throwing the knife and it ends up getting her in the shoulder, I guess. It was almost a neck shot, so I was really worried about that, but the knife was used in two, and I thought that might have been a transference issue at that point in time as well. But
see, I don't think he was in on that part of the plan.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like the type to be in on this, considering he keeps calling them like filth and stuff like that.
Especially with what Ada said. Okay, so that's a good point, because Ada said everybody has a role.
Yeah, every piece of filth has a role or something. Because
even filth has a purpose.
Yay, callbacks, because she's had enough of being insulted by him.
And not treated as a real person. And she does, didn't she go up to fondle the necklace at one point in time that was Agnes's?
Yeah, she put it on. If you notice, she's wearing it.
But she actually went up to touch it at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... The more I think about it, the more this whole episode's kind of a mind frack. Like, I need to go back and rewatch it.
I kept it on the DVR. I'm going to have to go back and rewatch it.
Yeah, it's... Were they switched out? Is this whole thing... Because at the very end, all we get is from Fitz and Simmons' perspective that they're LMDs. So... Yeah, are they in the framework? Is that thing faulty or not?
Mm-hmm.
Did somebody mess with it to just make everybody suspicious of each other? I don't know.
That's true, because we know whatever code they're running, it's kind of in everything. It's bouncing around all over the place. So maybe they've infiltrated SHIELD's networks and are just making it have false positives.
Again, like you said earlier, what is the purpose of replacing all the top-level people at SHIELD with LMDs? Because, yeah, they have the Darkhold. What else? Like, okay, so Radcliffe wants to put everyone in the framework because he's like, my whole thing is I want to stop people from dying. So uploading their consciousness in this thing will keep everyone alive forever. Okay, so what does SHIELD have to do with it? Does he think that, okay, we can use SHIELD technology to get people to do this?
Or maybe SHIELD is a vector into other high parts of the government. And, okay, new harebrained theory. So we kind of suspect that maybe Nadir isn't really dead. But Nadir is the perfect person to distrust SHIELD and maybe have things in place to deal with SHIELD. So if Fitz and Simmons are not actually LMDs at this point, they haven't been swapped out, maybe they go to Nadir and team up with her to help uninfiltrate SHIELD.
This is all, wow. I mean, we're stumbling around. There's so much to think about. It's so cool.
I feel like I need like the beautiful mind style board with the right? strings.
Well, there have been so many disparate plot threads this season that it's hard to see like which ones are going to come back and connect together and which ones are they just done with.
So if there really isn't a purpose to use the SHIELD organization to infiltrate them or anything like that, this could just all be a distraction, either with real LMDs or with the minds in the framework, just to distract them so that they can do whatever it is that they really want to do. So you have to keep that in mind as well. You know what? We've got a voicemail from Steven that has some great theories, and we're talking about it right now. So I'm going to go ahead and you ladies ready to hear from Steven?
Yep.
Okay, here we go.
Hello, Agents Haley and Lauren and LMD Stargate Pioneer. Steven Jonder here from Gunna Geek. First off, let me just say, love your show. Keep up the good work. It is always fun to listen to, and it is one of the more enjoyable things that I get out of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So keep up the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast. I love it. Last night, I was very confused at the end, and I had an idea that just popped into my mind. We obviously got the reveal of the LMD ending by Fitz and Simmons figuring it out. There was a timing mishap, and they were questioning it all, and that's how they led to finding out about the LMDs. Well, there was a timing problem, which means the LMDs were already in play. So how did they transfer the memories? How did they transfer the memories from Coulson and gang? I'm assuming they went that route just to make sure, you know, that they've got the access and the security and they need everything that they need. So they need to somehow get that mind thing. Well, do with this as you wish. Who did we have through that chamber? We had Mace, we had Mac, we had Coulson, and of course we had Daisy. Now, Mace is easy. Mace was there, so they could have just grabbed it at any time. He's the easy one. How did they quickly get the other people? Well, if you remember the beginning of the show, who did we see using Fitz's version 1 or beta edition of the Matrix? That's right. That's what I'm calling it. Who did we see? We saw Coulson, we saw Daisy, and we saw Mac. So why is that? Was this something that it was tapped? Maybe it was hacked? Was it hacked and that's when they ended up being able to extract the memories? Or does this give credibility to the idea that Fitz is an LMD? Was he that one that we speculated about? Perhaps. Why hasn't he set off any sensors? Well, he also set up the security sensor for LMDs, didn't he? It's a question. A question. That I don't know. I'm probably going down the hack route because that's the easier way to go. And then you don't have to try to explain all these other things. But Maybe we won't have that conspiracy theory. Anyways, keep up the good work. Love the show. And I just wanted to throw that random idea your direction.
Thank you very much, Stephen. First of all, I have to dispel the myth that I am indeed an LMD. I am not. And if I was an LMD, I don't think I would be this tired. So
that's just what an LMD would say.
That's right.
I mean, Fitz could very well be an LMD. I mean, maybe that's why he was putting people through it. Like, maybe that was his programming to get them in there and scan them.
That is a possibility. I was leaning more towards, okay, it was like bright daylight, at least when they started the mission, because we saw a lot of light coming through the windows and stuff. And it's, you know, pitch dark when they finished the mission. So I had assumed they all got taken as soon as they finished whatever fight they were in and scanned there. And he already had the LMDs built. He just needed to map the brains onto them. And yeah.
What I figure is that because Fitz was working so close with Radcliffe, he could have been scanned and replaced at any time, really. And with the framework and everything, you know, it might be just like subconscious programming. He does all that, scans them. The framework is connected to the other framework, sends the brain scans through there. So all they need to do is just swap them.
Mm-hmm. But see, I was thinking if they already had the LMDs ready and they already had the brain scans done, they just have to swap them and there doesn't need to be a big loss of time. I don't know that they would notice a loss of time if that's all that had happened.
There does if there's a big fight and you have to like erase that fight.
Maybe.
And you have to update the memories to that point, too.
Yeah. Need more data.
So you think there might have been a fight that we haven't seen?
Who knows? There was missing time.
Like the fight of them being captured?
Huh.
I don't think they would go down without a fight.
Well.
Unless there was sleeping gas or something. But yeah, they would definitely, they would have to have their memories updated, which I don't think would take as long as a full brain scan.
That's, I don't know how that technology works. I've got a feeling we're going to find out. And by the way, Steven in the chat basically said, I am already wanting to amend my voicemail for you guys. This episode definitely is making me scratch my head the more you all analyze it. So listener, if you have a theory about what exactly happened, are they in the framework? Are they actually LMDs? What happened to the original bodies? What is going on with this? Go ahead and let us know. And voicemail would be great, but if you just want to tweet us or send us an email, StargatePioneer@GunnaGeek.com, we can definitely talk about it next week and basically tell, you know, if you were right or not, because I think we're going to, at the end of the episode next week, I think we're going to get some sort of reveal after they fight in the SHIELD headquarters and we find out a little bit more, but we still have 8 episodes left. 15s. I'm guessing 8, by the way. I don't remember the episode order. So anyway,
it's usually 23, I think, isn't it?
I was thinking 22.
22.
So I was thinking about 8 episodes left. That's what we got left. And we got spring break left and everything in the crescendo into May. So there is still a lot of time for a lot of stuff to do. And of course, Steven is goading me and saying, yeah, send your voicemail to LMDSP. Hashtag LMD Stargate Pioneer. I'm not an LMD, dude. Not an LMD.
That's what an LMD would say.
The LMDs have infiltrated SNASA.
LMDs were SNASA. All right. So, Haley, what else you got for this episode? Because there's a bunch of stuff to talk about.
I don't remember anything else. Now I just remember, like, the mind frack of when was everybody replaced.
All right. Let's go back to the car with level 3 May and level 4 Coulson leaving the Russian compound and their little chat there.
Did you see her keep like messing with the bangs to try and get them out of her face?
Yes.
That had to have been a wig.
I can't blame her. Bangs are annoying. That's why I don't have them anymore. But yeah, her like, oh, I think if this date goes bad, yeah, we'll go out to dinner. And of course it's Andrew.
Yep. She's going through boyfriends like paper towels.
And of course it's Andrew. And we all know how that goes.
Yeah. Yep. Civilian guy number 14. Okay. And he ends up being Andrew. And we know all about what happened with Andrew. And that conversation was a little bittersweet because you know that it goes bad and Coulson's joking. Well, maybe it'll go bad and then we can get together. And you're like, oh, dude, if you would have only known, you wouldn't have said that. That was harsh. It was very harsh indeed. And oh, by the way, the real May is still doing something after the whole cavalry incident with the little girl in the framework. So, wow.
It's going to be so hard for her when she wakes up and is like, oh, all this stuff never happened.
Well, it's going to be hard on Coulson, too, because it's like their relationship has been developing for, I don't know, a month, 2 months or whatever.
And she's been a robot.
She experienced none of that.
So in the chat, Black Adam is saying, I think I've heard that next week is the end of the LMD arc. And it will be a short break, then another arc for the rest of the season.
I was wondering if we had a break coming up because I haven't seen any episode dates or titles after next week's episode.
No, we'll be rolling into some Luke Cage after next week. I don't know how many weeks worth, but we'll resume our Luke Cage watch. So also in the post-credit scene, we talked about it before, but let's talk about the shipping part of it. Robo Coulson with Robo May. Are you guys going to be happy with that? Or are you like, oh no, that's so wrong?
I don't know. Because it's one of those things where, you know, you have all the person's memories and everything. So to some extent, you are them, but you're not. And it's, I don't know, it's one of those weird, like, transhumanism ethical questions.
Hmm. Yeah, well, and more than that, like, as a TV show that we're watching to see character and plot development, progressing the relationship between the robo versions of them doesn't actually progress the characters that we're going to have going forward. So how much time do you really want to spend doing that?
Yeah.
Okay, I need to make a slight course correction. I'm going to admit I'm wrong because, well, we admitted we were wrong, both Haley and I did last time, that the Inhuman that was discovered last episode was not named Boom. He was named Nitro. And Lauren, do you have any background into Nitro at all?
Yes. Nitro is the mutant who caused the Stamford explosion that kicked off the original Civil War in the comics. And that was his power. He'd explode. And he exploded in front of, like, an elementary school with a whole bunch of kids.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
And could he reconstitute himself like he does?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
He just, you know, explodes.
I thought Civil War got started by Speedball or something like that.
Well, it was Nitro and Speedball, and it was this whole thing because the New Warriors were filming for, like, a reality show, and they run up against these supervillains who are just, like, living in a house, and then they fight, and Nitro and Speedball are fighting, and Speedball, like, gets thrown into the elementary school with Nitro, and Nitro explodes. So Speedball got the blame because, like, he lived, and it killed, like, Namorita, and it killed a bunch of other people. And, of course, it killed all these kids. And that was what started up the whole, should we start registering superheroes? Because these guys were off filming for a reality TV show like idiots.
Okay.
Okay, so he is still out there. That's why I was bringing him up. Nitro's still out there. Nadir's brother is still out there, quote unquote. We don't know if they're going to bring him back for this season or not, but they obviously...
He's a dangling plot thread.
Yeah. As is, what was his name from season one? The Ice kid?
Oh, Ice Boy.
Ice Boy. We haven't seen him yet back either, and he's out there. So a bunch of Gravitron, we don't know what's going on with that. So there's still a bunch of dangling threads out there, and I don't know if we'll ever see Nadir's brother, you know, soon, later, maybe on Netflix, maybe in the MCU, who knows. We didn't see Lola this episode. Obviously, Lola was not in the bus when it was flying around, although we got some cool shots of the bus. We also got a cool shot of the Quinjet coming down to make that great entrance. And the thought has been put out there by several people of, why do you have to RPG it? You could have just quaked the wall down. So there's that too.
But then Quake shows up and, you know, Quake's the superior in the face. So
Black Adam in the chat said Ice Dude was Blizzard, by the way.
Blizzard. That was his name.
Okay. So Talbot, nor his mustache was in the, you know, so in one of these episodes, the Talbot mustache is going to be walking around on its own. And we'll have the theory confirmed that Talbot's mustache is an LMD in of itself.
I want to see a bunch of outtakes with everyone else wearing his mustache.
That would be amazing.
Well, when Clark Gregg watches this, he will definitely know, and then they'll go around and do a little video of that because
Next week when you're tweeting, talk to him about it.
Hey, by the way, we need to see that mustache around.
Well, remember, there's an outtake from Firefly where, like, there's a flashback and Wash has that big, silly, ridiculous mustache, and, like, they pan to everybody else in the cast in the scene with him, and they're all wearing big, huge fake mustaches, and it's hilarious. So just do the same thing with the little creepy one.
This was a fantastic episode. I really enjoyed it. Lauren, did you enjoy it?
I really did.
Yeah. Haley, good episode.
Yeah, I need to rewatch it and try and figure out when things happened.
I tried that my second time too, and I just didn't, with the conversion over the LMDs, and did not see it. Did not at all. So, a listener, if you did, please let us know. In the meantime, Haley, were you able to get any quotes that we haven't talked about?
No, I didn't have time to rewatch this week, so I don't have any notes.
All right. We talked about the "even filth has a purpose" line, and there were some other great quotes as well. So just let us know. By the way, next week, we'll be going over season 4, episode 15, Self-Control. It was both written and directed by none other than Jed Wheaton. I looked ahead. I peeked ahead. Jed Wheaton, who we all know who Jed Wheaton is, right?
I do.
Yeah. He's one of the showrunners for the show. So I'm looking forward to what that brings. And if that is indeed the end of the arc and we get a few weeks off for spring break in between there, it's definitely going to be good. And there's going to be a cliffhanger in there to polish it off. It is now time, since we don't have any quotes, to get in to some feedback. I like.
We're doing feedback or news?
We're going to talk about news. Yep. That was
it's a wibbly wobbly timey wimey episode.
That's right. And oh, by the way, talking about wibbly wibbly timey wimey, we're going to talk about Spider-Man, the first look video for Infinity War.
Yeah. So I watched it. It's on, we have the link, it's on YouTube. The link popped up on Twitter a few days ago and I watched it. And at first, I'm like, okay, who is this weirdo in this picture that was, you know, the little thumbnail picture with Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Pratt? And then I was like, oh, yeah, Tom Holland. We do have Spider-Man in this movie. But he's wearing this like huge coat and his hair is all floofy. So he doesn't look like Spider-Man. But yeah, they, you know, it's a nice little, you know, here's what led to this. And then the actor's talking about, oh, this is going to be big. And you see a lot of green screen.
It was the best trailer I have ever seen that showed me nothing about the movie whatsoever. It was awesome. It came out shortly after we stopped recording last week and saw it. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. We linked it several times. So sorry about that, folks, on our Twitter account. But we put it out there and I watched it several times myself. And it was just, it was fun. And I can't wait for the next movie. Of course, Guardians of the Galaxy is the next MCU movie to be out, and I am really getting excited for that this May.
Mm-hmm.
But we got a lot of other stuff going on too. We've got, I've mentioned it before, we got Logan coming out on March 3rd. We've got Legion to pick up. We've got a new Netflix series coming up. So there is no lack of material for us to cover here on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., no matter what happens in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But we did get a nice article from Gizmodo looking at X-23's origins.
Yep, IO9 has a leak. Well, not a leak. It's like a released thing that they did to kind of hype up the movie. And it's a quote-unquote found footage about X-23's origins. And, you know, she's this tiny, cute little girl. And then absolutely horrific things are happening to her in this video. It's like, there's a lot of blood in the video. And it's very sad because she's a tiny little girl. So if that's going to upset you, you know, maybe have second thoughts about it's fake blood, but still, if that thought's upsetting to you. But yeah, X-23's origin is not the happiest, and you see some hints of that here. When I went to go see John Wick 2 this weekend, they had the trailer for Logan, and yeah, every time I see it, I just get more and more excited. So
they played a couple of Logan trailers during the Super Bowl, which was really cool. It wasn't any new material, at least that I saw, but it was just cool to see it on the Super Bowl in the midst of everything else that was going on. And I think it's in the same time period, plus or minus a couple of weeks, that Deadpool was last year. I think this is really working out for the X-Men sort of movie, that time period. Valentine's Day last year and March this year with Logan. So really cool stuff going on. So we have some cool stuff going on. And of course, Thor is at the center of it.
So Doctor Strange just came out on DVD and I need to go pick it up.
Yep.
But you remember how we got that whole, oh, where was Thor during Civil War thing? And it was him with the roommate.
Yeah.
Well, we got a part two and they leaked that online in advance of the Doctor Strange DVD coming out. And it's about a minute and a half long and it's Team Thor part two. And it is fantastic. It's him talking to his roommate and he's like, I think we should get a servant. And it's wonderful. He's like on a bike and he's shirtless, but he's wearing this weird vest thing and he's wearing shorts and just broing it up. It's lovely. He reminds me in this video a lot of Kevin from Ghostbusters. We should just let Chris Hemsworth do all the comedy. Just all of it.
Yes.
Well, they're all pretty good at it. Marvel's done a great job of both casting and writing and giving these guys a leash long enough to hang themselves with, but they don't. They run with it just wonderfully. And I don't know if it's the handlers, it's the snipers, it's just these people's personalities, but it just works with Marvel.
Oh, that reminds me of a thing, but it's political, so.
Yeah, it does not work so much for DC right now. They're having some trouble in.
Well, I was going to talk about, speaking of, you know, the Marvel handlers, there was a tweet that Mark Ruffalo made earlier this week that was, Marvel handles its secrecy with its scripts better than
the U.S. government.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mark is definitely very, if you follow Mark on any of his social media, you will find he is a very political animal and outspoken. So just fair warning, if you want to get away from politics, following Mark is probably not the best thing to do. But if you don't mind that sort of stuff, Mark's great at it.
Also, he tweets a lot about, and on Tumblr and all that, he talks a lot about science bros, if you're into that. So,
and he takes really picturesque pictures.
He really does.
Yeah, it's really good. Like, he does a great Instagram feed. Definitely. All right, moving on from the Thor, we're going to talk about the Disney Marvel theme park makeover.
Okay, so May 27th marks the start of the Summer of Heroes, a season-long event at Disney's California Adventure Park in Anaheim, California. And that's when Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout opens. It's the one that's taking over Tower of Terror. And they're going to be doing stuff like the Guardians of the Galaxy Awesome Dance-Off. So they're going to have a Star-Lord costume actor there so fans could dance along with them. They're also going to have a permanent meet and greet with Groot coming along, joining the already permanent meet and greets with Captain America and Spider-Man. Through September 10th, Black Widow will be around for fans to do the meet and greets. And she'll be part of an Avengers training initiative where she and Hawkeye will train kids. And there will be all new Marvel-themed food, merch, and more. Yeah, rumor has it that the Guardians of the Galaxy ride is just the first of multiple rides that are going to be added to the Disney parks over the next few years. And between that and the Star Wars land and everything, I'm cool with that. I need to go back to Disney World.
I've still never been to Disney World.
You should. It's so fun.
It is.
I know.
The problem with Disney, for me anyway, is I want to see it all and I want to experience it all and I want to have fun. So really the way the park is laid out right now with the Animal Kingdom, Epcot, Disney, MGM, and then all the water parks and then all the other stuff around there too, because Kennedy Space Center is within a close drive, and then Busch Gardens, if you want to do Universal, whatever. It is easily a 2-week vacation of doing nothing but spending gobs of money at these places and having a ton of fun. But I just had some
Disney came up with a system to make you give them a bunch of your money. I don't believe it.
Shocked, right?
My biggest problem with Disney is that the last time that I went was I still hadn't gotten treatment for my back injuries. So I was in pain by like hour 3 every day, but I was still just there like a hobbling around the park like an old lady.
Right. I just had some family members that went down there like 2 weekends ago and they rode the Tower of Terror and they were shocked when I told them, I'm surprised that you actually got to ride that because I thought it was closed. And they're like, what are you talking about? They're getting rid of it. It's not going to be the Tower of Terror anymore.
Only the one in Anaheim. The one in Florida is staying for now.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm so upset. I can't ride that anymore since my back surgery. I tried riding a similar, you know, a dungeon drop type thing here at the boardwalk in Kima. And yeah, that was a mistake. It turns out that after you've had your disc scraped out of your back. It does not look kindly on just being dropped like that.
No, no, not at all. Or if you have muscular problems or nerve problems or whatever, it's not going to go good for you. I had a similar thing going on. I'm like, yeah, it's fine. I can take it. No.
Yeah,
no,
I'll be fine. I'm not fine.
Yeah, the vertigo starts and it's just all downhill for there. So
yeah, actually, when we went the last time we went to Disney World, my mom, who has vertigo, was like, I'm gonna go on all the roller coasters, I've been fine. And she was fine. And then we went on that Mission to Mars.
Oh, that's awful. Matter of fact, somebody died on that, by the way.
Yeah, they died like later that year. My mom was there. She was like, nobody look at me. Don't talk to me. Like, she forbade us from talking to her for like an hour because she was just so, you know, about it. And like, we still laugh at her for that because we're terrible.
By the way, Christy admonished us over on Twitter. She's obviously listening to us live. Yeah, y'all are mixing up the parks here. No. I
we're talking about both of them.
Yeah. SP was wrong, but SP is now corrected.
Disney is just wonderful. And
Black Adam in the chat saying that Disney World and Universal both have good mini golf courses too. So,
ooh.
Yeah.
I think I've played on one of the mini golf courses in Disney World.
I don't think I do mini golf there.
I have a vague memory of doing this.
Yeah. Well, that was the news story about the Marvel theme park makeover, and we'll be keeping tabs on that as it happens, because of course we all want to get down to Disney World or Disneyland or whatever. But our last news story of the week was provided by Annie Migna, and we have to talk about this because it's like Lauren's Marvel favorite thing in the entire world, the Runaways. Lauren, what can you tell us about the Runaways cast?
Okay, so did y'all talk about the main kids being cast last week?
I think that was our sole news story last week.
Okay. Well, this week they cast the parents. And you guys, I'm so happy. They cast Ryan Sands from The Wire as Jeffrey Wilder, Angel Parker from The Strain as Catherine Wilder, Brittany Ishibashi from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows as Tina Minoru, James Yagashi as Robert Minoru, Kevin Weissman from Alias as Dale Yorks, Bridget Branagh from Army Wives as Stacey Yorks, Annie Wershing from Vampire Diaries as Leslie Dean, Kip Pardue from Ray Donovan as Frank Dean, James Marsters from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Spike. Also, he narrates the Dresden Files audiobooks and he's fantastic, as Victor Stein, Ever Carradine from The Handmaid's Tale as Janet Stein, and there were more, like the Molly's parents, but this article that I'm looking at doesn't have them listed. But I am I can't believe this is happening. I've been waiting for this for so long, you guys. I'm so excited. Runaways is one of my favorite comics of all times. And I'm thrilled. Like, I actually have a Gert cosplay.
Cool. It's going to be a fun time for you, that's for sure. Been times where I've been looking. As a matter of fact, I'll probably be more geeked out than you are if Robotech ever becomes live action in a proper venue. So that's kind of my thing that I'm holding out for, but I don't think it's going to happen anymore. We'll see. But thank you very much for giving that new story to us, Andy. We really appreciate it, especially since Laura's geeking out about it so much. All right. Now, I'm not going to lie, now we're going to get on to some feedback. Unless, Haley, do you have any new stories that you would just love to get to us today? No. Okay, here we go. All right, we got some great feedback this week. It was a fun week to have feedback for. That's what we do this, so you can be involved in our conversations. All right, so at Kodiak GWC tweeted us and he said, "What are your thoughts on this?" And it is a comic book resources article that Fox is reportedly eyeing Kerry Washington for Deadpool 2's Domino. Lauren?
Yes.
I'm thrilled about this. Kerry Washington's amazing. And Domino is just a wonderful character. Give me just all the awesome actresses as all the awesome characters.
Yes. Perfect casting.
Yes.
Perfect.
Good call, Haley. And then before we talk about the next one, I think we're just going to go jump ahead and we're going to play our second voicemail of the night.
So, wow. How about that ending? So, out of the main cast, Fitz and Simmons are the only ones on the base who aren't robots at this point. Well, I don't think we saw LMD Daisy use her powers, since she was obviously replaced after beating up the Superior. So, that's potentially a good thing. I kind of thought their lost time thing they were talking about might have indicated that they were in the framework, and then it would be Fitz, Simmons, and May in the framework trying to escape, but, well, I'm not sure what to think about this one yet, but wow. I was kind of hoping that Daisy would beat the Superior without using her powers just to prove him wrong, but it was satisfying seeing her drop a ceiling on him, though unfortunately leave him alive, so he's going to show back up again. Wow. Just still processing. Can't wait to hear what you guys think once I get caught up with podcasts. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you very much, Adam. That was Black Adam, of course, sending us a voicemail. Still processing, and guess what? A day later, we are still processing as well. I bring that up because he tweeted us, and he said, I was thinking the missing time might have been a hint they were in the framework, but this is epic. The whole episode of epic. Yes, I agree. Adam, and as far as the concrete ceiling coming down, I hope that stunt guy got a lot of extra pay, because that would hurt.
Yeah. Being a stunt person, like, the more you find out about the stuff that they go through and stuff, I already respect them, but there's some stuff you read about, like, some of the classic stunts and some of the newer stunt, just any stunt, really. And you got to give them some serious respect.
You too. And Haley, Christy asked us a question. We kind of already talked about it before, but I want you to directly answer her. She said, now I want to know what the J stands for in Philip J. Coulson.
John.
Philip John Coulson. All right. You've heard it here first. Haley has now named Phil Coulson Phil John Coulson. And then Lauren, Christy also asked us, so are the LMD versions going to get it on?
Maybe.
Oh, that reminds me of a really inappropriate XKCD comic.
It's all over Futurama, too, so yeah. Pick your pick. All right, so Consultant Black Adam tweeted us earlier in the week, and he said, I still have some finishing work to do, especially with the patch. He's talking about the shield patch, but what do you guys think? He, guys, for MegaCon this year, he is going to dress as a shield uniformed agent. It is so cool. If you haven't checked it out, he tweeted us the pictures of February 13th. Go check it out. It is awesome stuff. And Black Adam, I envy you. And of course, he said, well, you take the patch off and it's that much of a swap to go over to be a DEO agent. So he could be a agent of SHIELD one day and then the next day be a DEO agent. I think that's a cool cosplay idea for MegaCon.
You got to love the versatility of the black cat suit.
You really do.
Yeah, and it's cool. If you have cool cosplay pictures that you're planning on wearing to cons this year, please let us know. Tweet us at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. All right, that is it for our feedback for the week, and we're going to start walking this one out. All right, for those of you that are new to the podcast and haven't been with us for the past couple of months, the first time I played that, these ladies were just chastising me left and right. Now, if you saw them live, you would have seen them both dancing in their chairs.
Yeah, there was no warning. You just changed things without telling us.
The first time we heard it, it took us by surprise, though.
Change is bad.
I don't like change.
Talking about change, next week we will be discussing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Episode 15, Self-Control. And I have an announcement that if you want to come see me in person, I will be at Indiana Comic Con and I will be doing 3 podcast panels, April 14th, 15th, and 16th. This is in Indianapolis, Indiana. I will be there with Michelle Ely, who has guested on this podcast before. She's a permanent co-host over on the Starling Tribune. We'll be talking about co-host issues. So filling the empty podcast chair from 2 to 3 p.m. on Friday, the 14th of April in room 131. And we will also be discussing any of your podcast 101 questions as well. On Saturday, we'll be in room 131 again from 11:30 to 12:30. And Sunday morning, we'll be in room 131 again from 11 to 12. So come out, say hi to me, say hi to Michelle. And if you have any questions, go ahead and ask. And we'll be talking all about either finding that co-host, bringing the co-host into your podcast, or how to productively podcast with others, which in the case of this podcast would not really take place because Haley and Lauren hate me and they sabotage me at every chance that they get. So in any event, come out and see us over at Indiana Comic Con. And for anybody that has attended the Gonna Geek C2E2 panel last year, this is going to be very similar. So just come out and have some fun. We'd love to see you. All right. You can always find our live streams at www.geeks.live. And that is where you can join in the live chat, which we've had a lot of great people. Mike over at JPEG to Raw was in there. Steven was in there. Black Adam was in there. We've had a bunch of people in there tonight. So thank you very much for showing up.
Thank you for everybody who comments on our Twitter, especially Clark Gregg, but especially all of you. Like, we love you when you send us articles, when you comment on live tweets, when you send us your own live tweets, when you mention us in something that just makes you think of us. We really appreciate it, you guys. We really do.
And thank you to everybody that participates in any of the contests we've had. Don't forget, we've got one going on right now. It's for our sweet new X-Men crate. Let us know by March 8th. Send us by voicemail your very best Jean. And for bonus points, you can share with us your favorite time that Jean Grey was either kidnapped or killed. And you have until March 8th to get that to us.
Looking forward to that after the weekend after Logan. If you're at Logan, you're like on your way home, you're like, oh.
Nope, I lied. March 1st. Sorry.
So it's before then. I was going with the change on the fly. I was like, okay, well, okay. She made it March 8th.
It's your fault. You got the date March 8th stuck in my head.
Jeez. Why is March 8th stuck in your head?
Because you mentioned it earlier.
I thought I mentioned March 1st earlier.
No, when we were talking about the Logan premiere.
Oh, March 3rd is the Logan premiere.
March 3rd. I don't know, okay? Threes and eights look similar.
Is Lauren starting to rub off on you? Time? I don't know
you
time.
Guys.
All right. Well, thank you very much for dropping by. We really appreciate you. All the downloads are fantastic. And if you guys have anything you want on the podcast that we're not currently talking about, just let us know and we'll get into it. Don't forget, we have a Twitter account at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. We have a Facebook account, a Tumblr account, and go find our YouTube video at thegunnageek.com YouTube site, which is youtube.com/gunnageek. Until next time, I'm Director LMD Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
See you guys next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod, found at incompetech.com, and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
You get me a cookie?
Can you get me a cookie too, Scott?
I don't think I can transmit cookies through the internet.
I'm sure we can make that happen some.
Which is sad because they're delicious cookies. Thank you. They are bourbon chocolate chip.
Oh, jeez. They would kill me, but...
Alcohol bakes away.
Yeah, that's what they say. So one heck of an episode, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, we got two voicemails. We got one from Adam, one from Steven. So we can roll through those. And
would that be Fativen?
Steven. It's like my favorite meme ever.
Then Haley, I don't know if you realize because I don't know if your phone was like ringing off the hook with notifications last night.
Yeah, I noticed.
Yeah. So Clark Gregg responded to a tweet that Lauren said. So we've got that in the feedback.
I think we should frame it as we had an exclusive interview with Clark Gregg. Did either of you watch Legion?
And I have not seen it yet.
The first episode, yes.
Yeah. Do you have any idea what the f*** is going on?
I have an idea.
Oh my god. My upstairs neighbor has a f***ing drum set.
Can't hear it, which is...
I know, you can't, but
yeah,
I can.
Yeah, but you can, and that's annoying.
It's even better when they play it at like 1 a.m.
Oh my god.
Wow. Can you register a complaint?
I could, but usually at that time, I'm in bed and trying to sleep and not in the mood to deal with shit. I just want to move.
Then move.
Then you got to do the thing where you find a new place to live.
Yeah.
Put down payments and like pack all your shit up. Ugh. Such a hassle.
By the way, there's been some talk in the podcast circles about cats being part of the podcast.
Yeah, I saw that.
So if you're wanting to introduce your cats to the podcast, we can definitely do that.
I can do that.
We're running along, so I just cut it.
Yeah, The Expanse has started. Luckily, I think I'm DVRing it. Or maybe not.
Ooh, I just signed up for PlayStation View, so I have DVR again.
Yay!
Oh, PlayStation View has DVR?
Yeah, it's got a cloud DVR feature. Oh. So I'm going to cancel CBS All Access, which pissed me off because I only need it for two shows, and Hulu, and just use that instead.
What was I doing in the last couple of days? Oh, yeah. I was listening to this podcast. What was it?
Daily Tech News Show?
Crimson Comet. And they were talking about the awful CBS app.
I don't remember because that was so long ago that I do not remember this conversation.
I think it was episode 53 or 54, so that's where I'm at listening to Crimson Comet. Anyway, it was kind of hilarious. You were getting to the penultimate episode of last season. So
my recorder died towards the end. I flipped it back on pretty quick, but I'll have two files for this one.
Okay. We did notice that you were non-communicado for a while. Do you know why it died or how long it died?
Because the batteries died, because I set a new pair of batteries right here to put in it, and then I didn't do that. So
I guess I'm wondering, am I going to have to ADR you in with my file?
I don't think so. Because it's happened before, and the recorded file was fine.
Okay.
I think it's got a feature in there that if it dies, it keeps itself enough juice to save. So,
well, how did you know that it died? Because you were listening to us and all.
Yeah,
because
I monitor through it and I didn't hear you guys.
Awesome. It's another reason to monitor. That's great. Do you not have a USB plug for that?
I do, but I get feedback when I use it.
Okay. I am still, Lauren, I'm still rewatching season one of The Expanse. I don't know why, Lauren, you're still there. So I don't know why I made that decision, but I made that decision. So I haven't seen a single season two episode yet. Like,
this is only the fourth one because there was a 2-hour premiere.
Yeah. Well, the problem is there's 4 hours sitting on my DVR because it was a 2-hour premiere and then they did both of them singly. So my DVR caught all four of them, all 4 hours. So it's just soaking up four. And I'm so hesitant to delete them because I don't know what got lost on each because, you know, it cuts off on the front end and the back end.
Yeah.
Anyway. Thanks a lot, guys. Is there anything going on with either of you next week? Or are we good for next week?
Should be good for next week.
As far as I know.
You're not moving?
No.
Okay.
Not rage moving in the middle of the week.
All right. Well, good luck with the drummer and good show, guys. And I'll see you next week.
All right.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2017.